External bleeding is one of the emergencies that is usually sometimes difficult to deal with. That is why it has been chosen to be one of the topics that we should discuss. The gastrointestinal bleeding can come spontaneously without any warning before, and can come like a volcano, can rupture at any time without indication that it is going to happen. So it is similar to the volcano, and you can see also the similarity here. The blood spurting like the fire from the volcano. It is just the introduction to this bleeding. And now, who can read that one and tell us what to do? Your plans. Plans, objectives. That for everything you should decide what are you going to do. Like you are building a house. You should design the house before that. Now you are the patient. Before starting you will plan at least, you will put your idea, I will do this and this and this. But what are the objectives?
ABC.
ABC. What does it mean, ABC?
Airway, assisted airway.
Yes.
Is it fatal or not?
Very good.
Breathing.
Very good.
It's based on breathing spontaneously without assistance. Right. And the circulation.
Very important. The circulation, the hemodynamics, they need to be cared for. Huh? The hemodynamics, because if he is losing a large amount of blood, we might lose him. We don't care for the hemodynamics. All right. What else? Anything else? So the hemodynamics.
Vital signs.
Of course, hemodynamics all together with the vital signs. Vital signs is part of the hemodynamics, yes.
Treat the bleeding. We say that upper GI or lower GI.
Yeah, localization of the bleeding. And?
Give him some treatment.
IV fluid.
IV fluid, yes, it's hemodynamics. If you take the hemodynamics, care for hemodynamics, all of these are in the same hemodynamics. You care for the circulation with IV fluid, with blood, with whatever.
Then the history. And try to stabilize the patient for endoscopy.
Yes, fine. So we have something like four objectives. Number one is, the most important is the hemodynamics. Maintain the hemodynamics. Then we care for where is the level of the bleeding and what is the site and the cause of bleeding. The level is the site. What is the cause of bleeding, the source of bleeding. And the last one time is the treatment and prevention. These are the four important points that we need always to look at when we have a patient comes with bleeding. The approach of this patient, that is the second question, maintain these several steps. There are six steps that need to be looked at when we have a patient with GI bleeding. Number one is the initial assessment. How do we assess initially? How is it done, the initial assessment?
ABC.
Huh?
ABC.
Yes, ABC. Fire. Any additions?
The blood, the amount of bleeding and if it's like fresh blood.
Or fresh blood or altered blood, right? The amount of bleeding and?
Level of consciousness.
Level of consciousness. That is very, very important because the patient might be in shock or he might be stable. There are differences between stable patients and patients who are in shock.
Brief history
later on. Yes, the resuscitation of the patient, the hemodynamics that we have mentioned before, that is the next step. Fine. The initial assessment, how do we know the patient is in shock or not in shock? By looking to the patient.
conscious and unconscious.
Conscious, unconscious, and?
Irritability.
Irritability, whether it is agitated, yes, very good.
It's Glasgow from Kirkneck.
Huh?
Glasgow, Comasco.
Impulse.
The response to being. Huh? Agitation, these are probably signs of shocks. Shock, and later on you can assess the shock by other means, like by the blood pressure and by the pulse rate. So, this is the first step. Is the initial assessment. The patient is stable, then that is something different. And we are dealing today with the emergency bleeding. These are the patients who can be in shock or prior the shock, before the shock. And the signs of shock we have mentioned, the agitation, the pallor, and then we measure the vital signs, the blood pressure will be low, and probably there will be postural drop. What is postural drop?
When he stands up.
The patient change his position, get up from a sitting or from lying down, the blood pressure will decrease, will drop down. And the tachycardia, usually the patient will have tachycardia. Some of the elderly patients, they are taking drugs probably that will slow the pulse. Maybe you will not find that tachycardia despite the presence of shock. Right. How can we know that the patient has lost? How much blood? Is it large amount? Is it small amount? How do we assess that? Again, we use the vital signs. Among the vital signs also that can tell us about the shock is what that we have not mentioned here. Not vital signs. GBP probably if the patient yes, GBP can help. No, other things that need to be measured in a patient who might be in shock, the urinary output. Urine output, because they might have decrease or even shutdown of the kidneys in case of long-standing shock. So the vital signs are important to assess the amount of blood lost. If the patient has lost around 10 or below 10% of his circulation, then the vital signs would be normal. However, when he loses up to 20%, then he will have postural drop. What is postural drop? And how much?
More than 10.
More than 10 millimeters in the system. That is postural drop. If the patient has lost more than 20% of his blood, that is approximately 1 liter, he will be in shock. And we just have discussed what are the signs and the how can we detect shock. The second step of the approach of the patient after the initial assessment is the resuscitation. Resuscitation, again, we go back to the hemodynamics. And that is the most important part. Forget the history, forget the site, forget everything. You should care for the patient, that the patient does not lose more blood and get into shock. Now if the patient has shock, what are the things that we will do? Or how can we stabilize the hemodynamics? The most important thing, as mentioned before, the fluid. What fluids do we take usually?
Normal saline,
or better than normal saline is what? The plasma expanders. Plasma dextrans and hemaceal, something like that. Plasma expander, they can be kept longer time. Then the second alternative is normal salines, which is available everywhere. The third thing is blood. And blood usually take a little bit long time until you can take blood because you get it from the fridge and you do the cross-matching and so on. So it will take some time. So you restore the hemodynamics with either plasma expander or normal saline. Why not glucose?
it will, it's hypertonic, I think, it will react.
So it will cause diuresis. Alright. Then oxygen is very important in a patient who bleeds. If he loses a large amount of blood, he will have hypoxia. And hypoxia will be central and will affect the central organs, and that is what should be avoided. We monitor the vital signs to be sure that there is no further drop of the vital signs, and we monitor also the urinary output, which can give us an idea about the circulation. The patient who is severely bleeding should be admitted to intensive care unit. And blood transfusion in patients who are shock, I think it is a must, but as I mentioned before, you need usually some time to get it and to be ready. Fresh frozen plasma, do you think it can help in the management? In patients, only patients probably who have abnormal coagulation due to liver disease or whatever. But usually it cannot be used as a plasma expander. What are the indications for blood transfusion?
Hemoglobin less than 8.
Hematocrit. Yes. What else?
The patient situation.
What do you mean with patient situation?
If you have any chronic coronary ischemic disease.
Yes.
Then we have to make the hemoglobin more raised.
Yeah.
But if the patient is medically free, we can make the hemoglobin around 7 or 8.
Yeah. Let us see for first what are the high risk group that need immediately blood. The one who is bleeding massively, the one who has red blood, whether from above or from below, or nasogastric aspirate. Or sometimes if it is severe bleeding, they might have fresh blood rectal per rectum, and you might vomit fresh blood, and that is that does mean a severe bleeding. Sometimes the patient has massive bleeding in the stomach, and because it is catalytic, it goes very quickly through the intestine, and he will pass blood, he will pass fresh blood. So there is no time to have enough contact with the hydrochloric acid. Then other risk groups are the patients, elderly patients who are at risk, have cardio-respiratory, cardiopulmonary diseases, and age of the 60, these are the patients at risk. So patients who need emergency transfusion are the patients who are shocked and they continue to bleed while caring for them, and they have bright blood and their age is more than 60 or have concomitant diseases. But now after resuscitating the patient, we might go back to the history and physical information. Like what from the immunoproviers? Yes, they might be considered as, like they are not usually among this group. Now we go to the history physical examination. After this is taken, the patient being sure that the patient now is cared for, we can ask him, and the patients are shortly ask their relatives. What are the questions that you would like to ask about this?
He has liver disease.
Liver disease? Anything else? لأنكم تكلموا مع بعض ما صعب يعني.
الأونست
أونست of the bleeding.
Continuous
or intermittent. Focus history. ما نقدر ناخذ history طويل جدا لكن something relevant to the bleeding.
Duration.
Duration.
Medication.
Like what?
Like
paracetamol.
Like what?
Or aspirin.
Anticoagulants.
Yes. anticoagulants, non-steroid and anti-inflammatory drugs.
And bleeding, sure.
And aspirin.
And bleeding. And bleeding, yeah.
The color of bleeding. The color of the blood.
Is it fresh blood?
Yeah, is it fresh
blood? Associated symptoms. Associated.
Gelina and hematemesis or both?
They can't deliver already suppose. They couldn't.
And liver failure.
Yeah.
Decompensation.
Worsening of the coagulation.
This is my nectar. I don't know how to answer.
Like an asteroid and aspirin and anticoagulants are the most important drugs that you need to ask.
Trauma history.
Trauma history, history of trauma.
Abdominal pain.
Pleural pain.
Abdominal.
Abdominal pain. Very good.
Vomiting.
History of gastric ulcer. History of surgery. Family history of peptic ulcer. What? Which rare? Which one can you say with bleeding?
Colon cancer.
Colon cancer. Which one can the presentation?
Hematochism.
Hematochezia. Intermittent bowel habits. Or acute change in the bowel habits. So all of these dyspepsia. Weight loss, anorexia,
alcohol.
Now we'll see all of these, and you mentioned most of them. The age of the patient is most important. And the age, I don't know, of course, no one knows the doctor. I remember one of the students who was a teacher, he gave me 60 years. When I talked to him, he was 120 years old. MashaAllah. تقدير ممتاز ما في الا بس تو فولد ها طيب هذه واحده ايج اند بريزنس اوف ديسبيبسيا بريزنس اوف هيستري بيبتيك ألسر بريفيوس اندوسكوبي ذا بيشنت هاد ألسر بيفور سمثينج لايك كرونيك ليفر ديزيز دراجز انوركسيا ويت لوس تشينجينج باول هابتس اول اوف ذيس هاف بين منشند اند بريفيوس سيرجري ألسر اون ذا اكزامينيشن اتس موست امبورتانت تو لوك for the presence of segment of chronic liver disease and to look for what else? Vascular malformation that you can see sometimes in the lips and so on the mouth examination. Scars on the abdomen. You feel masses, something like that. And PR examination can show you that you have melena or hematocrit. We come to the lab evaluation as the next step, the fourth step. What are the labs that can be done? Any specific lab test?
CBC.
Any specific lab test?
CBC.
Not specific. Like a CBC is helpful, coagulation parameters are helpful. طيب وغيره. Liver enzymes, طيب.
PT, BTT.
نعم.
BT و BTT.
PT coagulation profile. Mostly the creatinine will not increase at the start, but and in patients with chronic liver disease, the urea can be even reduced in the creatinine. Huh? Right. As you have mentioned before, the complete blood count, the coagulation parameters, and the cross-matching that we need to do, type and cross-matching, and the blood urea and liver profile, blood gases. To know whether the patient, what abnormalities in the blood gases will happen in patients with bleeding? Metabolic what?
Acidosis.
Acidosis, metabolic acidosis. metabolic acidosis usually in patient who is dehydrated, who have shock, who has hypovolemia, and severe bleeding. Then the next step is the approach of the patient. Please remember these steps because it is important. Many patients, they will say, we come, we ask him about the history. That is not the start. The start is to care for the patient, the history, and the site, and the laboratory tests are can be done later on. Localization of the source of bleeding, how can we do that? You can do it by endoscopy. That is one of the methods to localize. Endoscopy, whether it is upper or lower GI. What is?
The type of bleeding.
Very good. So start always clinically, the color of blood. How can the color of blood tell me it is this or this side?
Can
fresh from the rectum. Colonic or rectal, tayyip, from where they can. They can be hematochezia. Tayyip.
Melina suggests more likely upper GI.
Melina is most likely coming from, which man most likely? It is most likely.
Because it can be from the lower GI.
Okay.
Like in the intestine, small intestine, or even from the colon,
yeah.
If it's stay a longer time
in
the colon.
If it stay, then it is not melina. Melina usually is tarry stool, and blood, as I mentioned, is cataralic, so it causes diarrhea usually. It increases the passage, the bowel passage. If it remains with constipation, it might be a little bit dark if it comes from the right colon, from the right side of the colon. But in case of Medina, usually it is caused by source above the ligament of
Trice.
Or it might happen in a patient who has Meckel's diverticulum. Meckel's diverticulum, they might have Medina.
They have
peptic tissue. They have gastric tissue. Like, which the clinical, the endoscopic, any other way?
X-ray,
radiological. What radiological methods?
Plain X-ray
does not help you in assessing where the site. Toilet also, toilet, if I can see if I can see varices, toilet, if I can see tumor of the colon. Usually not.
Bivasic contrast.
Bivasic? Like what?
For the calcium.
Hey.
Gastrograven.
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound does not show you the site.
Ultrasound, you feel?
Ultrasound does not show the site of the bleeding.
Endoscopy.
We mentioned endoscopy before. We mentioned clinical, endoscopic, and radiological.
An examination.
Radionuclear, like what?
For the RBC.
The red blood cell scan. You see where is the leak? Red blood cells, they go out with the blood, and you can see the size of the leak. If the patient is bleeding, if he has blood, stop bleeding, it does not help. The same, the angiography. These are the two radiological methods to assess the site of bleeding. Then the next is the treatment. How to treat the patient? Depends on what is the cause. IV line is the most important thing, whatever the cause, is the hemodynamic resuscitation. Suppose this is peptic ulcer.
PPI.
No. Okay, for PPI. What is the regimen? How to give it? The regimen for H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori. تبدا مملة شوية. شوف ثلاثة خرجوا ما شاء الله عليكم، أسماء مرقعة ما شاء الله، ما شاء الله على. طيب الحمد لله على التعويض. طيب أيوة
Either medical or surgical.
Medical or surgical or قبل surgical أنا أول قبل وقت يعني surgical. Surgical وقت جدة يا الله يرحمه. الحين very rarely you need surgery. Before it was the main method of treatment. So you have different endoscopic methods. طيب نحاول نشوف ايش احد يعرفها قبل ما نشوف السلايد.
ابليشن
بالون يس ات از فور ايمرجنسي اف هيز باسنج تو ماتش بلاد ماسيف اند يو كان نوت سي يو كان بوت ذا بالون جاست تو جين تايم اذروايز ات از نوت يوز كومنلي فيري ريرلي يوز
ابليشن
ها
ابليشن
ابليشن وذ ابليشن يس طيب
كانت
بريزنج في
عندنا
يا زاندينج يا الثيرد مانتس فيري جود. ما فيرم لا فيرم ما تستخدم هذا سكلوروزينج ايجنت الثيرم ار يوز فور اوبتيكال ستارز اي سي جي علشان بس نكسب الوقت. ذا تريتمنت از ستارت اولويز وذ ذا سمبل وانز اذر فارماكولوجيكال or endoscopic, or surgical, or radiological. متى radiological؟ خلونا نخلص من radiological.
Portal hypertension.
كيف portal hypertension تسوي
رأي؟ Tips.
Transjugular.
أيوه. بس هذه ما هي في الأكيوت سيتنج. هذه صحيح فيما بعد نسويها الواحد تو reduce the ascites or reduce the risk of bleeding or actually having. But we are in a patient who came just now in the hospital. ما الواحد يسوي
له arterial ligation.
أيوة.
عن طريق الراديولوجيست.
طيب. Embolization. Embolization. أنا قلت نبدأ بالراديولوجي first. If you see the site of bleeding, it is muscle arterial bleeding, then you can during the angiography, you can also, huh? Like the pharmacological, endoscopic, angiographic, or surgical. These are the four methods that can be used, or not all of them, of course, depends on what. The indication for emergency endoscopy, when a patient, when we should do emergency endoscopy. دائما تهمونا في the admission round, we call the gastroenterologist to do endoscopy for a patient who has shock. And the gastroenterologist told them, resuscitate the patient and do it, we will do it in the second, the next morning. وش رأيكم في الكلام هذا؟
كان في
إذا
كان في بليدنج راح يستمر يعني ما راح يوقف ديتوريت
البيشنت. أيوه. I told you in a shock patient.
He should be stable. He should be stable before
the shock. Should be stable because if take a patient who is unstable to the endoscopy unit and use the endoscopy, the patient will compromise. His oxygenation will compromise and you might lose him on the table. So it's important to resuscitate the patient before going for endoscopy. Emergency endoscopy or urgent endoscopy within 12 to 24 hours, not immediately. Right. So the reason for doing endoscopy is the cause, to look for the cause of bleeding. If we have severe bleeding and we resuscitate the patient, we'll do it. Patients with chronic disease that might lose too much blood and they can have problems later on, like cirrhotic patient and patients who re-bleed and patients who have persistent bleeding. That is emergency endoscopy. Like in a patient who lit 5 days ago. He had a little bit black stool, and that is all. He would need to do all of these now, emergency, as emergency can be, then elective. Like, the role of endoscopy, what does the endoscopy tell us about the site of bleeding? Number one, tell us many, many points, like the site of bleeding, the source of bleeding, is it ulcer, is it varices, is it malformation, vascular malformation, or we can see also the site and the stigmata of bleeding ulcer. Stigmata are very important to tell us what is the prognosis of the patient that can be seen during endoscopy. And it can be done for endoscopic therapy. We'll show later on, inshallah, at the end, what are the different endoscopic treatments that are used for bleeding. That is why it is progressing and the need for surgery is almost nil, except in very few cases that are not responding. Like, we have adverse points, clinical and endoscopic. The clinical we mentioned, the patient was elderly, he has what else? He has another comorbid diseases, cardiopulmonary diseases and so on. And patient who is elderly, a patient who is continuously bleeding, the patient who lost amount of blood, and the patient who re-bled. These are the patients that are at risk. And patients that did not respond and need surgery, these are the adverse effect or adverse prognostic factors, clinical adverse prognostic factor. We have also endoscopic prognostic factors, like how big is the ulcer? Is it giant ulcer? Is it small ulcer? Is it bleeding from an artery? Is it spurting bleeding like what I've shown at the start? The vessel is bleeding, spurting. Is it continuously bleeding, active bleeding? Is there any clot? These are the adverse prognostic factors that can be learned from endoscopy. We mentioned patients sometimes have peptic ulcer and they don't feel that they have peptic ulcer. As you know, 25% of peptic ulcer patients, they don't know that they have peptic ulcer. And just once they present with the complication. The most common complication is the bleeding. And it might, as I mentioned before, rupture like a volcano. But we go now to the forms of bleeding. We have upper and lower GI bleeding and we have obscure bleeding. Which one has the better prognosis? The upper, the one or the obscure? Upper? واحد عنده سين. آخر. كلكم موافقين على الأبر؟
Obscure.
Obscure مش ما نعلم وش obscure. ضابط يعني السبب ما تعرف. جيد الواحد يسأل طيب أيوة
لور
ها
لور
والله بس كلها bleeding with the upper or lower can be very severe can be massive so obscure bleeding usually has capital problem and you do not see the site you do not see the so it can be a small lesion and something that you can not see during endoscopy, upper and lower GI endoscopy. Okay? It might be coming sometimes from the small valve.
So, upper GI bleeding, so to be less than hematemesis or melina?
Melina part, melina is a result of upper GI. Upper GI. لأنه ما في أحد عنده lower يكون عنده melina. Melina per se is presentation of upper GI.
So the sniff had depends
on the cause or the presentation. Which one is the sniff? The trap sniff, the cut to upper, lower, obscure. Hey. Regardless the cause, where is the site? Site of bleeding. Like if you show the obscure, you don't know what is the cause. Like we have upper and lower site. And obscure, you don't know where is it in upper, lower, or is it in the middle. You don't
know. Well, another presentation, whether it was hematemesis or not.
Hematemesis means always that we have upper. Hematochezia, we have lower. Medina, or sometimes hematochezia, if we have severe bleeding, can be upper. أنا قلت الأخوة اللي وقع الثانيين أبي نشطب اسمه واسم اللي موقع عنهم ترى عندنا طريقة نحتسب شيء يعني. لذلك رجاء لحد وقع طيب the states around 100,000 patients are admitted usually with gastrointestinal bleeding and more than 15,000 die yearly in the United States from the gastrointestinal bleeding. In the in Britain, around 16,000 and 4,000 die yearly from gastrointestinal bleeding. It is more common in males and more common upper than lower. And most of the patients with bleeding, they can stop spontaneously. And around 80% of the patient, they can stop spontaneously. They might re-bleed again. Only 20% they will continue until you do something. Like the mortality, since I know myself, and in medicine, in medical life, it is 10%, around 10% if you take the general mortality of upper GI bleeding. There are risk groups that have higher mortality, like the elderly, the patient with comorbid diseases and so on, they have higher. The highest mortality is found in patients who have fresh blood from the mouth and the rectum. He has both sides, fresh blood, the mortality is around 30%. So you can see the mortality is generally is 10%, but it is affected by the age, it is affected by the color of blood and the amount of blood. These are bleeding stage varices, and you can see probably the varix that is bleeding. Maybe it is difficult for me to see it, but you can see how big is the vessel. How big is the vessel that is bleeding? You can see it on the left side. So that is the vascular bleeding that is usually causing massive bleeding. And these patients, if not treated urgently, they can go into shock. And you mentioned before the treatment for esophageal varices is, before it was the sclerotherapy, and in the last 15 years probably the banding ligation is the most commonly used method. Banding, you can see how it is done using the endoscope. That's a patient, we mentioned the prognostic, adverse prognostic point, endoscopic. You see this patient, he has a visible vessel. If we see endoscopically this patient, then this patient has a high rate of re-bleeding. Now he bled and stopped, but we expect probably within a few days he will re-bleed again. And the re-bleeding rate is around 40-50% in these patients. And that is a sentinel clot. Clot is adhered to the ulcer. If it is removed, what can remove it? The patient will bleed.
Acidity.
Yeah, it will be digested by acid. That is why, if you say the pharmacological agents are used to reduce the acid and to try to avoid or to decrease the risk of digestion by acid. Sentinel clot can also be removed endoscopically. واحد توي يتعلم مثلي يسوي endoscopy يشوف شو اسمه يشوف sentinel clot. You wash it, the patient will bleed massively and you cannot see anything, you cannot do it. So in this patient it is better always to inject the surrounding with what?
Epinephrine.
With epinephrine. What does cause epinephrine? Cause vasoconstriction of the surrounding. And then the risk of bleeding is much less. You don't remove the clot, you inject this way, and mostly, usually, it will be a very successful procedure. And that is vascular malformation. You can see it is a feeder.
In order to differentiate from erosions, erosion usually is round when marked. But here you see it is feathery. That indicates that you are dealing with a patient with atriovascular malformation.
And that can be treated how?
Fehrman.
Fine. Anyone know? We have different Fehrman methods. The heater probe, the bipolar, electrocoagulation, monopolar electrocoagulation, and we have laser, we have argon plasma coagulator. So any of these can be used. It is a vessel, yes. This is something different.
I'm not
guessing the قبل هذا اللي قبل اول واحد. اي واحد. اللي فوق. انا ما مريت اي واحد عن الباسكولار مالفورميشن هذه
اول واحد. نتكلم عن الدكتور الانسر اللي باين فيها الفسر مش علاجها.
علاجها ايضا نفس الشيء انجكشن اور كوغوليشن.
انجكشن اور
كوغوليشن. انجكشن اور ثيرمال. You use a heat probe, you use mostly heat probe is used or another methods of coagulation and injection. And nowadays seems to be the combination of injection and coagulation is probably more useful. Again, that is the angiodysplasia causing bleeding. And you see here, probably at the end, the black one is the tip of the heat probe. It is applied to bleeding duodenal ulcer. And here it is the retroversion of the scope. And you can see the gastric varices bleeding from gastric varices. That is very important to be done in a patient who is bleeding if you don't find another cause. And again, gastric ulcer is bleeding and spurting. You can see the vessel spurting. And that is duodenal ulcer with visible vessel is bleeding. And that is another method that we have not mentioned about stopping the bleeding from a vessel is the clips. Endoscopic clips. You do clip on the bleeding artery and the bleeding stop. These clips also are used sometimes for if you do endoscopic procedure like colonoscopy and the patient has perforation, you might clip the perforated area with these clips. That can be the main treatment. This is a patient with lower GI bleeding. He's bleeding from a diverticulum. And a vessel in the diverticulum is the cause of this muscle bleeding. That, like what we see in the peptic ulcer. You can see the vessel protruding into the diverticulum. These are hemorrhoids, again, a cause of bleeding. And that is sometimes a very small ulcer that is easily missed by endoscopist. It is called Guillain-Barré ulcer. And can occur at any site of the gastrointestinal tract and can cause massive bleeding. That is very important to have clean colon if you or clean stomach in order not to miss vascular malformation and not to miss the DLFOI. Right. I remind you again about the steps that approach needed for approach of a patient with gastrointestinal bleeding, the initial assessment, resuscitation. The second third one is the history and physical examination, then the lab evaluation, then the site and localization, and the treatment. These are the points. Any questions? Tfadla.
Professor, cauterization.
Hey.
We don't use it for the...
For?
Bleeding, small bleeding.
Small bleeding?
Yes.
Which gastric for small bleeding?
Very small bleeding.
Huh?
Artery bleeding, with the vessels bleeding.
I don't know, small bleeding. Large vessels are large bleeding. You use the injections and the coagulation together.
Small vessels, we use
a cauterization. If you have a vessel bleeding, then you use the injection and the thermal methods at the same time. Any other questions?
طيب لو اسالهم الان جاوبوني كلهم الله يوفقكم